This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Whether you like it or
whether
not.
Whether you like it or not.
Good morning.
Morning, fellas. How are we?
I'm good.
Me too. Got to see a nice sliver of a moon behind puffy, kind of semi-tropical clouds.
Semi-tropical.
I saw some clouds as well. A little hazy at my house this morning.
Little
nice.
Puffs. It's very nice.
It was nice.
Did you guys listen to the news just now coming into the break?
No.
I did.
That they were talking about us running out of energy in California?
Oh, yeah, I did hear that.
So if last year you ran out of energy and the year before you ran out of energy, and probably you're going to have more people using energy in the subsequent years, how would we fix that?
Gas-powered generators in your garage?
Generate more energy?
Well, that would be the idea.
Okay. You know what I forgot to do?
Here.
I was thinking the big thought, so I forgot to look at the weather for this week. People are going to have to take care of themselves.
I thought you were going to bring something with the energy into plants in a garden show. I didn't know what the segue was.
Well, the plants know how to take care of creating energy. Well, not creating it, but processing it so that they have what they need as long as they get the...
As long as they get water.
And?
Nutrients.
And?
Sunshine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Did you call me sunshine, or were you saying the plants need sunshine?
I was looking at Mark when I said it.
I saw the smile.
Aw. I did bring you guys gardenias today for...
Yeah, you did.
I saw that.
Well, I guess one each. Yeah. You did good.
What do you mean not enough? You need your own gardenia flower?
Well, sort of.
He brought three, and there were three of us. He didn't bring one for himself, I guess.
That's true.
I'm a giver.
You are.
Okay.
Always have been.
But why did I bring three gardenias?
Because you had them. And you wanted to...
You claim that they all smell different.
You don't believe so?
I don't know.
They look different.
I don't care.
Yeah, they definitely look
They all smell good.
Well, they do. They all smell good. But I have had people asking which one smells better. And I don't know the answer to that because they do all smell very good. But they do each smell a little bit different.
But different doesn't necessarily mean better.
Good or better or worse.
Right. They're very comparable.
I agree. Right. That's why I prefaced it with they all smell gooder or really nice. Okay,
really
so there are three different types. You guys are not working with me. What is going on here?
What are you talking about?
I'm feeling attacked. You're not working with me here.
No. We're fine.
Go on about the gardenia. Yeah.
Please go on.
I just happen to have three gardenias blooming all at the same time, so I brought them to share with you so that if anybody asks you which one smells the best, you could say
August Beauty.
Yeah.
All of them.
Beauty. That's funny.
The one I didn't bring in.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Gardenia thunbergia.
Another one you didn't bring in. And the radicans, that one really smells good. Thanks, guys. I appreciate your support.
Yeah, they all smell the same to me. I mean, there is a little distinctive, a little difference.
I think mystery might be more powerful.
But, they're very similar to me.
Yeah, but I think they smell very similar.
Yeah.
Is the big one First Love?
First Love Mystery Vichai.
Vichai.
The benefit to the Vichai, even though the flower is a fraction of the size of the other two.
There's more of them.
You get so many more. They bloom over a much longer.
The whole plant turns just about white.
And over a much longer season. And the Thunbergia, it does smell good.
It's a distinctively different looking flower.
Yes.
Correct. And you get a big piece of fruit on it, too.
Yeah.
It's a late bloomer.
Yeah, the nursery usually blooms in August.
And it doesn't last as long,
the individual flower stone.
I think it's a unique plant. I like the way it looks.
Yeah, it is really pretty.
I totally agree. Yeah. And it is the rootstock for the grafted gardenias.
Correct.
And also the seed
Nelson
pod,
gardenias.
That fruit you were talking about. could be a tremendous danger.
Depending on how one tries to access it.
Yeah, you can.
Yes. Once, depending on how you try to get to the seeds inside that very hard pod.
Thick cone, yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't know we were going to jump into these.
I didn't know it either.
But we had a customer come in 2 days ago, I believe, at Poway, and she had a bunch of branches that she brought in from her gardenia and said, this is growing from the bottom of my gardenia, and it just looks different. There's something wrong with my leaves. And so we explained to her that it was a grafted variety, and that was the
rootstock. You have to be very vigilant on that. Yeah,
so I brought her out front. I brought her out front in the Poway store and said, this is what happens if you don't maintain it. You end up with this beautiful plant that's not what you started with, because we have that in front of the store.
Yeah.
Those were grafted, probably mystery gardenias.
Mysteries, right. And they're just beautiful Thunbergias. They're spectacular, and they're pruned right now. They look nice, but they're not what she was looking for.
We were not diligent.
Right. Hence Ken saying you have to be diligent.
That Thunbergia rootstock is so so vigorous. You really have to keep an eye on it, because once a little sucker gets going, if you don't get it off of there, it'll take over. It really will.
And that's why it makes such a good rootstock for the other ones, because it is so vigorous.
And that's just Monrovia that makes the
now.
Right. Now, yes. Well, it's funny because people still come in to the nursery and they ask about the Nelson
Campbell's.
Campbell. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry about the Campbell's from Coronado.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, it's pretty funny.
Well, and you know, it was funny when we basically were the ones that talked Monrovia into doing it, and they had been doing it for a year or so, and they came in and said, you know, we're not going to do grafted gardenias anymore. And what are you talking about? I said, well, they don't sell. They don't sell. I said, no. They do sell. You're not selling them.
Right.
You know, your salespeople don't know the benefits of having a grafted gardenia.
It's the truth.
And so they went through and they changed the way their salespeople were doing it. And now that's pretty much almost all of
that. Yeah, they're switching over.
Yeah, they're switching over.
All the tags will have the name. It'll say like mystery or August Beauty, and then parenthetically it says grafted on the tag.
Correct.
Yeah. It is a far superior plant.
Instead of
cutting grown.
Instead of slowly declining and dying, they grow and thrive. Yeah.
That they do.
But they still, they still need the slightly acidic soil, according to their tag from Monrovia. David's saying his doesn't get that kind of care and they're thriving.
What kind of care do you think mine gets?
Well, probably nothing. Bare minimum.
Gets occasional watering only as directed by a doctor or pharmacist.
What do you feed it? Occasionally as directed by a doctor or a pharmacist.
Probably some grow power or a broken bag of something else.
Okay.
But I don't feed them very often.
It's not intentional.
Okay. I mean, and what about the culture, east, west? What kind of sun is it getting?
A full half a day of hot sun. East County hot sun, and the Vichai is not as lush looking as the two less than 5 feet away that get more shade from the house in the afternoon.
So they're getting more afternoon shade. That half day of sun is morning sun.
Yeah, but except for the top parts of the plant that are now over the roof of the roof line of the house, so they get sun much longer. Well,
people typically put gardenias in too much shade and overwater them. Typically, I mean, it's
I've got a. It's either a mystery or a first love. Probably a first love in the backyard. It gets no direct sunlight at all. Mm-hmm. It's bright, but it's not there. It's in the shade of the house. It's on the north side of the house, and it stays fairly moist, and it's perfectly happy there.
Right.
It's about 4 feet in diameter.
Well, yeah.
Do you get any bug problems with it? Because sometimes in the shade, they are more susceptible to
the mealy bugs and
the scales and things.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Nothing consequential,
exactly. But what it does get, which I think every large flowering gardenia gets, thrips in the flowers.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, well, let's just take a quick look at the flowers.
I don't think I have ever seen a big gardenia flower without a thrip in it.
It's interesting you say that. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
Well, wait a minute. David's going to prove you wrong, maybe. Nope, you found some?
Not sure. It doesn't, you know, I have seen them when they are covered with little,
We're
that's
testing.
Me. That's me slapping a flower.
on the table.
Against a white piece of paper.
Yeah, there it is.
Well, there's not very many.
It ran under the...
It ran
but there
under
are thrips.
The... Yeah. There it is. Yeah. There is a thrip.
I told you.
So, okay. As Ken said,
however,
never seen
a, wait a minute.
Gardenia flower.
But there's three flowers and only one thrip.
Okay. Well, we don't know which one it came
exactly.
from.
Exactly. So still. Probably but two of these three did not have thrips.
Okay.
All right.
So do you, I know you because of the way you take care of your plants, you probably don't go out there and prophylactically spray in any way.
No, but I have sprayed them with horticultural oil once or twice this year.
Because of the mealybugs or
yeah, scaling,
see, we have one on the yeah we have
mostly.
One on the porch that gets just a little bit of afternoon sun and it does get some mealybugs periodically.
But slightly changing the subject, I had a customer come in yesterday that recognized my voice and told me she was heartened by the fact that on occasion I don't take proper care of my plants and it made her feel better about herself. So
well, that's the. You're a role model, Dave.
You can learn things yeah, from everybody.
You can learn.
You can take
everything.
A lesson
it's
from everybody
true.
In life.
That is that
you know,
is
that,
the truth.
That reminds me of that commercial for the seatbelts. You can learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your safety belt. Right?
No, okay. No kidding. Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. Just a quick note, I think we mentioned it last week, but once again, garden classes are going to be starting up in both stores on July 10th.
Yep, next Saturday.
A week from today.
A week
yeah.
from today. Richard Wright's going to be kicking them off in Poway with the fruit tree class.
Fruit tree care.
Fruit tree care. And
I think Ted's doing our houseplants.
Houseplants, yeah. Well, care yeah. and culture.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And to get a whole list of the garden classes that are scheduled, you can check out our newsletter, which if you don't get it emailed to you, you can find at walteranderson.com in the newsletter section where we actually have
archived.
every newsletter we ever published.
Oh, really?
Is archived there. Yeah.
Very good.
So,
and if you don't have time to scroll through all the newsletters, it's there at under classes as well on our page.
That's
on
true.
On our website.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can check that out. There.
What if they just choose not to, but they have time?
Then
is
they can
it
do
still
anything
there?
They want.
They
it's still there. Okay. That is correct. It is still there. Yeah. Or you can look on Facebook where we often post them as well.
And then we also had an interesting thing happen last week. We were mentioned in the Wall Street Journal. David was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal.
And they called me Mr. Ross at the very bottom.
Okay. The last sentence.
But I haven't found it in print.
Right, just on the electronic, the web
just
version.
On,
but it was kind of nice to be in the paper and it not be a...
Negative. Yeah.
Yes.
Arrested today in
yes.
San Diego.
That was all.
And it was the article was about the drought in water in California.
Yeah, I was going to say, and what was the article about? Yeah.
It was about water. And
Southern California being in a better position.
Much better position than in Northern California, where the rain falls.
Or doesn't.
Or but doesn't, yes. as yeah. the weather may dictate. Yeah. But we are paying more for water than just about anybody else, but we have it. And there's something to be said for that, especially in the plant business.
Especially in the plant and those that love to garden.
Correct.
Right.
Do we all agree?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So I showed it to my mom and my dad. But growing up, it was the test was if this came out and was on the cover of the L.A. Times, it wasn't the Union. If it was on the cover of the L.A. Times, would you be proud or ashamed? That was our litmus test growing up. And so it's in the Wall Street Journal. It wasn't on the cover.
But you could be proud.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
And Timothy's out there watering some alyssum while there's not very much water in the north.
That's sad.
Very, very sad.
But I thought it was kind of neat because they were the ones that searched us out for it. And did they call the
Chamber of Commerce?
Call the Chamber of Commerce, and the Chamber of Commerce said these are the people that you need to talk to.
Go talk to.
And they flew him out here. He wasn't.
He's from San Francisco.
Yeah,
He flew down, met his photographer. They took some pictures. They went to El Capitan.
Did you guys check them? That they didn't take any water back up north with them? Any of our water?
I did not, but I did make sure he had no excess water when he left the nursery property. Okay. Did take care of that.
Interesting.
Yeah, the desal plant gives us 50,000 acre feet of water per year, which is 10% of what we use here.
Up in Carlsbad.
Yeah.
10%.
Yeah, that's a lot of water.
And then they doubled the volume, the capacity of San Vicente.
Which I notice every day on my way home.
Right. Yeah, the dam, they increased the height of the dam.
Yeah, that was a good move.
It was an excellent move.
It was a good move. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. Kate and Laura, stay on the line. We are going to talk to you when we come back from this break.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
To the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back.
People came
with more Garden Talk around. Here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'd love to talk to you. We are going to head out to Allied Gardens, where Kate is waiting. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show. Your show is great, and I feel a little deprived that I wasn't listening to it for however long it's been on. But as I walk around my neighborhood, I listen to the podcast, and I'm starting with January of this year. And what a great show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I have a question for my neighbor. She's been wanting me to ask you, but I want to first tell you about my other neighbor who has like a jungle growing out in her front yard, and she's got it trimmed and manicured. And when you walk past her house, you walk under a canopy of, you know, different plants, flowering plants, some not. And she talks to them and she says, look what this gal did. She gave me a little pup and she shows me. And she's really adorable. But my question is about my other neighbor who has a plum tree that isn't producing. And she was told she should go out and hit it really hard with a bat to stimulate it to produce. What do you think about that?
I don't know how effective that would be.
Yes.
You know, remember the guy that advocates rolling up newspaper and beating the trunks of trees when they're dormant to help them come out of dormancy better?
I thought it was rolling up newspaper and hitting the flower clusters on avocados to get the pollen to move around. But what probably has happened, or what may be happening, is that she may have an avocado that requires a plum that requires a pollinator.
I live two doors down from her, and I have a plum tree, and it's only 2 years old. I think our plum trees are about the same age, and I probably have 2 dozen plums on my tree, and she says she has none. She said the first year she had a handful.
Okay, so she did have it. It did fruit. So that's
good. Do you know what variety it is, just out of curiosity?
I don't know what hers is. I have a Santa Rosa, but I don't know.
Yeah, Santa Rosa is self-fertile. Satsuma, I know, requires a pollinator. And it's usually a Santa Rosa is what we recommend as a pollinator. I'm trying to, I can't.
Any chance it's a high
and
chill?
We have a lot of bees around, so I, you know.
Well, yeah, it's only birds. Flowers. I
mean. Well, and that's a good question, is if the tree's not flowering, then you're not going to get any fruit, regardless of what variety it is. If it doesn't produce flowers first, you're not going to get any fruit. So that would be the first question that I would ask her is does the tree flower? And it usually will flower before it leaves out.
Yeah. She wants to know if she should hit the trunk with a bat.
Yeah. No, I don't think I would do that.
It wouldn't hurt.
Well, it might hurt your wrist.
Well, yeah. Depends how hard you swing, I suppose. Yeah. But
I have a neighbor who had a pear tree that wasn't producing fruit, and he was out trimming it, and I asked him if he knew why or how to trim his pear tree, and he did not, and it had all these little short stems along the branches, and he was trimming those out because he was just developing a framework, and in doing that, he was trimming off all of the fruiting wood every year. So make sure, one very plausible reason is it's a variety that requires a pollinizer and it's not getting it. And then two is...
How could she get it then? I mean...
My assumption is if it had fruit on it the first year, then it's got pollinated from something somewhere. So, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean,
Did it flower this year? Did it have a big clusters of flower all over it? Because that would be the question to get the answer to. Did it flower?
Did it flower? Okay, I'll ask her that. I'm not sure. Mine certainly did, and I have, fruit, but I don't know about her.
Every year is a little bit different. I mean, so watering and temperatures and things like that make differences. So,
And the flower buds are forming in the summer of the season before. And if they get stressed, then you won't get those flower buds. So there's all sorts of questions. You're going to have to go out and grill your neighbor like we are doing to you right now and get those answers, okay?
Okay. Can I ask one more question?
Certainly.
In listening to your podcast, I must seem like a real chucklehead because I walk around the neighborhood laughing at your show. It's just hilarious and informative. And I was listening to a show in January about roses. And you mentioned Ada Perry's, and I was hoping you could spell that for me. And then the other question was how difficult is it to get some of the roses that you see like over in the Balboa Park Rose Garden?
Well, as far as Ada Perry's is concerned, it's ADAPERRY's, and you'll only find it at our stores. That's a proprietary item that we sell. As far as what's in the rose garden is concerned, last time I was there, all the roses were named.
I have my favorite, and I was wondering how hard it would be to get my favorite one over there.
Which one is that?
George Burns.
Oh, that should be easy.
We typically have it every year, but
it
shouldn't be a problem.
You should be able to get that in late December or early January.
Right.
Great.
Yeah.
Do I need to put in an order for it, or you just always have it?
Typically, we usually get it. Yeah. I mean, it's one that we usually get. So maybe if we know early enough and if we start, because we don't get the same roses every year, but we should be able to get that one for you, I believe.
It should be on the list this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep an eye on the website.
Just give us a call.
In November, the rose list will come out, and then you can also give us a call in November, and we can put your name down and let you know when they come in.
Okay, and then to get the newsletter, I go onto your website.
You can go onto the website, and if you want to put your email address in, it'll be emailed to you every month when it comes out.
Oh, great! Do I have time for one more question?
Sure.
I have moneywort that I got from your store as a ground cover underneath my fruit trees, and a lot of it looks really great. And in fact, the first year I put it in, it flowered. It had the cutest little yellow flower on it. But this year it's looking a little patchy and brown. Is that fertilizer? Is that watering? Is that sun?
It's one of them. It's typically a water issues. I mean, I don't know what's changed. If it looked beautiful initially and have things changed watering?
Moneywort is thirsty.
It likes a lot of water.
So
That
would be the first place.
It's going to probably want far more frequent watering than your fruit trees need.
Correct.
Oh, okay. So I might have to rethink that then, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately, that happens a lot.
Or at least under the drip line of the tree.
Yeah, true.
Outside of the drip line, it should be okay.
Oh, it seems like it's the opposite. It seems like inside the drip line, it's okay, and outside it's kind of brownish and dried up.
It could be
a water issue there, too.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the call. You have a great 4th of July.
You too. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Under the shade of the tree.
It's doing better.
So, yeah, we'd use less water if it's under the shade.
Correct. Yeah. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Speaking of Ada Perry's, now is the time to do the summer pruning on your roses, which I need to
and
do.
Feed
Mine are out of control. I need to get out there and trim them up. But along with the summer pruning, that's a great time to put a second dose of Ada Perry's down on your roses and feed them.
Rejuvenate.
Yep. And if you follow label instructions, like most of us here don't, but on the back of the Ada Perry's package, it says to feed it twice a year, January and July.
Correct.
Here we are.
How much does it say to give each rose bush?
2.5 cups.
Depends on the row. It depends that much. What is that, 4 inches?
Well, no, I think it doesn't say one to two cups per rose bush. Isn't that what
the label directions say? I
think that's correct, yes.
And that's about what you would use for, well, grow power, it's 2 handfuls for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, about this much.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
If you use products that don't burn, you don't have to be as precise.
You could be a
precise.
Little sloppy, right?
Yeah.
Well, and if you use products that do burn, just be careful.
You'll learn.
You'll learn, yeah.
I remember my dad would come home, he'd bring home a bag of sulfate of ammonia and go out and throw it throughout the yard. And
you could
just,
see?
Just burn the heck out of everything, and my mom would get so mad. And then, like, 4 weeks later, it's boom.
Beautiful.
Everything is just... incredibly lush and growing like crazy.
That's
because sulfate of ammonia is all nitrogen.
It's all nitrogen.
It turns everything 21% nitrogen.
21 or 22. Yeah. 21.00. I think
it turns everything green after it turns it brown, or if it doesn't turn it brown.
Yeah, and triple 16 will do that too.
Yes, it will.
If you're not careful.
That's why using organics, which I typically use, I am very sloppy with it because
it's tough to burn.
I said if you're overzealous and you put a lot, you're wasting money, but you're not going to harm your plants.
No, not at all.
You know, even though they don't burn, do you know what I like to do after I go sloppily feed?
Water them in thoroughly.
Well, and wash it off of the foliage.
Oh, I do that as well. Yeah.
Especially Grow Power Plus, the
penetrant
can cause problems with foliage. Right. Foliage.
Yeah.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Laura, stay on the line. We're going to be talking to you next when we come back from this break. You're listening to Garden Talk on KPRZ and KCBQ. We'll be right back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go out to Rancho Penasquitos where Laura's waiting. Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
Thank you for holding.
I'm walking around my garden. I'm a gardener in training, by the way. So you started
You already passed the test by being out there bright and early in the morning working in the garden.
Dogs will do that to you. you're talking about grafting. My mandarin tree, the orange tree, it's potted, but every year about this time, it comes up with this stem that has thorns on it. And it seems different than the rest of the tree. I believe it's the grafted part. Should I be cutting that off?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, you should be. And you are correct. It is different. It is the rootstock.
Okay. Okay, that's my first question. Okay, and you that gardenia talk got me thinking about it. Thank you. The second question is, I'm helping my parents across the street, and they have a lime tree that they've been putting a lot of TLC into, but I think something's missing. They have fruit, the limes. It's a beautiful green tree, and they have limes that are about the size, a little bit bigger than the golf balls and smaller than a tennis ball. And it's light, and it's got this, it's white inside, and it's just got about the size of a dime of the actual fruit.
That sounds like rootstock, too. Yeah, that sounds like the fruit that the rootstock produces. It's very, very pithy, very little flesh inside of it.
It has no smell.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like the rootstock has taken over on that one.
So how... What do I tell them? I mean, that one's in the ground, and it's probably about 10 feet tall.
Does any portion of the tree still produce a normal lime?
I don't know. So I'll have to get down there and look.
Take a look and see if there are two types of foliage on this tree as well. And sometimes the rootstocks take over completely because the other part dies back, but sometimes it's just a portion of the tree. So if you can tell...
Distinguish... Yeah, the good part from the old part, or the bad part, or from the
desirable from the undesirable.
Thank you. That the right
okay.
words. Yeah.
It's full of this fruit, which I thought was limes. Do I remove all of those?
If
most likely,
no...
you're going to cut them. You'll cut all that stuff off.
The branches.
The branches. Being, yes.
Does this fruit? Is there any value to the fruit to you or your folks?
Not at this point, but I know they'll be greatly disappointed with all the effort they did. Yeah,
then cut it all off and look for a different leaf. Look for the portion of the tree that doesn't match up with the portion that is producing this unusable fruit.
Okay. And if you look closely, you may find that those branches that are producing the fruit are coming from below the graft line.
Okay. All right. Sounds like I've got some work ahead of me.
Yes,
just a little bit. Yeah, just a little.
Is this a good time to cut it?
Sure.
With the weather?
Yeah.
If it is the undesirable part, yes. Get rid of it.
So,
stress
on the other part, it'll be okay.
Should be fine as long as you're caring for it. I mean, watering and feeding. You should be fine. I mean, if you open it up too much, I guess... I mean, if there's a lot of foliage that's gone and all of a sudden you have a lot of open branches in this kind of heat, maybe. What do you think, Dave?
Well, yes.
Yeah, it's one of the situations. I mean, I guess if you eyeball it and see if you're going to cut a lot of this stuff off and you're opening up a lot of branches,
if you might
want to wait.
The interior sun that hasn't been... exposed before, you run a risk of sunburning the trunk.
Yeah, so you might, I mean, theoretically at that point, you might want to wait. But, I mean, to be honest with you, I think it'll probably be fine.
What you guys are saying is absolutely 100% true. But what she has there is
useless.
Nothing
right,
right
no,
now.
I agree.
It's a good point.
So I say, damn
Do
the
it.
Torpedoes, full speed ahead.
You're right.
Yep.
Oh, my dad will like that being a Submariner.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great 4th of July.
Thank you. You as well.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
If it's a famous movie quote, go ahead. Never mind.
Famous movie
quote. Can I say it? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No. I'm done.
Oh,
please.
Done? Okay.
Yeah, let him be done.
Yeah.
Please.
If you want to give us a call.
That'll be a first, actually.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ.
That happens a lot, by the way.
The
fruit, on citrus.
We're constantly breaking off rootstock shoots, suckers.
Correct.
Even on the stuff that we have in
the
stores.
Yeah, and if you're not out there and you don't really pay too much attention, things just take over quickly.
Well, and if you're not aware and you see this vigorous growth.
You're
excited. Look at this. It's growing really well. And then all of a sudden you've got these big branches on the outside. You've got this great tree. And then you've come to find out that that's not the desirable piece.
Yes, it's the truth.
And the interior starts to die and that's all you're left with.
Yeah. When I moved into the house where I live now, there was a tangerine tree that was enormous. And when I went and looked more closely at it, 75-80% of it was sucker.
Yeah.
And there was just a tiny bit that you could kind of see of the different leaves. And I went in, and I don't know what time of the year it was. I just said, to heck with you, and I got rid of it all. And now the tree is a fully functional tangerine tree, and it went from 20% or so, maybe less, of desirable to the whole thing's there, and I got rid of all the suckers. It just
so you rehabilitated it. Now,
I did.
Yeah. And now it is a functioning member of your plant society.
And while it is a good idea to pay attention to the time of the year and probably not the best time to do it, if she has nothing there, I say just
no,
go
I,
for
I completely
it.
Agree with you.
Right.
I completely agree with you. Because it's, I mean, why wait? Get rid of it.
And there's a beautiful, I was so excited. It would look like it must have been a seedling citrus right off the side of 67 out in Lakeside. And I was noticing every day when I drive by, the fruit was getting riper and riper. And
you got to pull over?
I did. I finally went to pull over because I was going to harvest it, and it was going to be this new seedling, and I was going to name it, and it was going to be the greatest thing in the whole wide world. And guess what it was?
Rootstock.
All rootstock.
Sure.
It was that awful.
Trifoliata?
Yeah. Rootstock and fruit. It's about the size of a golf ball, and it just is awful. It has no redeeming qualities.
It wasn't even worth pulling over.
It really wasn't. And then I had to hike down this little hill, and I did not fall and hurt myself.
Well, were you trespassing at all?
Probably. Probably. Yeah. But it was outside of the fence.
That wouldn't be a first for
hey
him.
Hey now. I'll tell you, Mike.
He'll travel anywhere for fruit.
Yeah, we know that.
But the one time I got in trouble for trespassing, I was up in the neighbor's sycamore tree trying to get mistletoe at the wrong time of the year. They were having a party, and I was, you know, 50 feet in the air. And Mr. Ruane wasn't very happy about me being in his tree over his house. It was
That's a little creepy, yes.
Was that almost the L.A. Times front page?
That
would have
been different. If I'd fallen and then gone through the roof of his house, it would have been. And I probably would have had pictures, too.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yes.
It didn't seem like a bad idea at the time.
It never does.
There's some truth to that as well.
You know what? I have not seen a lot of this season, and it's usually something that comes in all the time, is blossom end rot.
It's funny. We just had somebody yesterday
as well.
Yeah. But you're right. I've only had
one person come in, and they brought in a bell pepper that had it.
Oh, really?
That's it.
I had a tomato yesterday, or Thursday, I guess it was. But yeah,
I had a tomato and some squash yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yep. The squash looked like it may have been more sunburned. But
they're all susceptible.
Yeah, that's why we recommend that when you're prepping your.
There's a new article that Adams was showing me last week at the nursery about blossom end rot.
I read the scholarly article that says that they don't believe that calcium is the culprit.
Really?
It's the culture, but not the calcium. Right.
But that's the only article I found, and I searched through IPM and others to contradict it.
But it's new, right?
Relatively new, a couple years.
Oh, okay. Right? So they were saying it's not a lack of calcium, and they did tests and studies of the fruit in all different stages, and it's not the calcium, but it is the stress and the changes in soil moisture and the growth.
Well, that was one of the things that I always tell people is you've got to keep the soil evenly moist. Otherwise, the calcium will fall out of solution, and the plant can't pick it up, and can lead to.
But allegedly, it's not the calcium; it's just the.
It's not the calcium. There's enough calcium in the soil. It's just that the plant can't pick it up, or
no, that it's not related.
Related to calcium at all.
Correct.
Right.
That goes against
everything.
35 years of
everything.
Experience.
Correct. Right. Correct.
Wow.
But it's the same causal agents. It's the same things that we say prevented it from getting the calcium.
Drying out and the inconsistent
watering is the key. So you have to be consistent.
Good luck with that.
That is the truth.
But again, I only found that one article.
George,
in all this time, that's what they've come up with now?
Well, this was doing tests in all the different stages of the fruit and how much calcium inside. There was all it looked real. But it was, and I read it, and I read it online.
Yeah, but it was only one study.
That's true.
So we'll continue. We'll continue to research. We will have find to more information.
Debate. We will have to do some more research.
We're on the cutting edge.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Bruce, stay on the line. We're going to talk to you when we come back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
The garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're heading out to Pacific Beach where Bruce is waiting. Good morning, Bruce. Thanks for holding. What can we do for you?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, we're still here in Pacific Beach suffering with our hydrangea.
Okay.
So, you know, I called you a couple weeks ago. It's got fungus. We've got the neem oil. Did one application on that. It did absolutely nothing to it.
Well, when you treat mildew, it's not going to make the mildew go away, but it'll arrest its spreading. So the mildew that's there will still be there. And the neem oil should do a decent job of controlling it.
But more than one application.
But it won't. The new growth should come out clean. And if it doesn't, then either do more applications of your neem oil or get a real fungicide. That isn't as natural as neem oil. I mean,
well, you can even, the leaf that's damaged is not going to get better.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I mean, you could trim it off, but I mean, it's still going to look, I mean, it is going to be what it is. It's just hopefully okay. You don't get the new growth doesn't.
It should come out clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then another question, when you trim the flowers on it, did you cut that stem all the way down?
Yeah, I probably would.
It's an aesthetic thing. It doesn't matter to the plant.
Correct.
So you can cut it just above the next set of leaves or a couple down, or depending on how you're trying to, what shape size it, you're trying yeah. to shape it to, cut it wherever you want.
Okay. All yeah. right. Well, great. Thanks for the info, and I'll keep you updated on the progress on it.
Okay. All right. Please do. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you have a good 4th of July, guys.
Thanks, you too.
Take care.
Thank you very
take
care. Much.
It's not going to get crowded in PB where he is.
Oh, no, it'd be fine. Yeah. Yeah. You know, be a big deal. He inspired me because when he called before and you were trying to get me to say neem oil and I had said copper, Capri had wrote me and said, well, we don't use anything because I'm kind of a lazy gardener and we have powdery mildew all over the hydrangea. So since that day, I've gone out and every week now I've been spraying copper to help. Reduce the
has it worked?
It seems to be working. It hasn't been spreading. It's like we just said, it's on the other leaves, but it doesn't seem to be spreading.
It doesn't make it go away, right. Although usually it'll etch the leaves and they'll get a reddish tinge to them where there had been mildew.
Where it used
right.
to be.
Correct.
Yeah.
We're going to go down to Chula Vista where Alan is waiting. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing well. What yeah, love do? You. Love your show.
Thank you.
And I have a question about a gardenia bush I heard you talking about early in the show. My neighbor has a gardenia that was planted by the previous owner in memory of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that lives there now, he just doesn't do much gardening or anything. I'm not sure he knows much about anything, but it looks like it might have scale on it. The branches are rough on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But it has gardenia blossoms on it, but it just doesn't look right. You know, the foliage and everything on the bush. And I just wonder, is that a situation where you have to spray it with horticultural oil?
Most likely, yes.
Yes,
if scale,
that's what I would do. Scale or the BioAdvance 3-in-1, either one should take care of it. But yeah, if it's got a bad scale infestation, that can just sap the life out of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
The 3-in-1 is good because it'll take care of any other issues as well. The only precaution is just make sure you're not spraying it where there's anything edible.
Okay.
And if it's in full flower, I mean, it doesn't really matter what you spray it. You're probably going to damage the flowers anyway.
Yeah, and if they're open, it'll probably burn the flowers. But the buds themselves,
correct,
probably would be okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to take a look at it now and see what stages. And I can see it from a distance that it's, you know, it has the blossoms on it, the flowers. Mm-hmm. But when you apply that horticultural oil, how do you actually apply it?
Hose end sprayer is the best way to do it. You can use a trigger sprayer, but if it's a big plant, it's tedious and it's not going to give you real good coverage. Hose end sprayer would be my recommendation.
And just getting the product in the ready to spray, the one that you hook directly up to the hose, is a very good way of doing it, so that you are not pre-mixing oil and water, which sometimes has a tendency to separate. Sometimes.
Just make sure the plant is well hydrated before you spray, if you're going to use an oil in this heat, and spray it towards evening.
Okay. Yeah, watch out. I recommend not spraying horticultural oil if it's going to be over 85 to 90 degrees. So just watch the temperature.
Either early in the morning or late the evening?
Yeah,
that would be the best.
So the hose end sprayer, do you just put a certain amount of oil in the sprayer and then just hook it up and start spraying?
Well, if you don't have any of the horticultural oil now, you can actually buy the concentrate with the hose end sprayer attached, and then you just hook it up to the hose and spray, and you're good to go. If you have a sprayer and you want it depends on the kind of sprayer that you have. There are some that you set the dilution rate on the sprayer, and that's the best way to go. If it's 2 tablespoons per gallon, you set the sprayer for 2 tablespoons per gallon, fill it up with oil and spray. And then when you're done, since you haven't pre-mixed anything, you can pour the oil back into the bottle again and save it for later.
Yeah, it just siphons
it
out.
There are some sprayers that you have to pre-mix to make it work. And those, I typically don't recommend them, because you have to use everything that you mix up to make that work.
Okay, good deal. I'll talk to him about it. See what he says. He put some kind of a homemade concoction on it, and I talked to him last summer, I think, originally, and he put this concoction on it. He said, "No, I know about some stuff that I'm going to try on it," but it just didn't seem like it really did anything.
Perhaps not.
I'll talk to him about it. If he's agreeable, I may just try it.
Very good.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Have a great 4th of July.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Bye. You too.
I've read about this concoction online. It should work.
Some of the insecticidal soap homemade concoctions work for soft-bodied insects, but not for scale. Scale's a tough cookie to deal with.
It's a tough shell to crack.
Crack, so to speak.
We're going to head up to Vista, where Vince is waiting. Good morning, Vince. How are you?
Good morning. I was going to ask, I have a problem ongoing throughout the years of curly top virus in my tomato plants, and I'm wondering if there's any varieties that might be better to plant, or if there's any technique of growing them where they're less likely to come down with it.
I don't know of any that are curly top virus
resistant. Yeah, resistant. I don't know any either.
But that would be probably a big Google search to try and narrow it down. I haven't seen varieties that are labeled that way.
Have you ever dealt with it, though, in your gardens?
I haven't.
I personally have not. A week or two ago, we were talking about it, and I had read that article with what looked like curly top on tomatoes was actually herbicide drift.
Herbicide drift. Right.
that was.
Yeah, well, I'm certain it's not that because I've done quite a bit of reading on it, and I haven't really found much useful information. But I locally, you know, I both in Vista and San Marcos where I've grown tomatoes, that's been a recurring thing. It seems that maybe if I get them in really early, I might have a little better luck. But I basically pulled out about 15 plants the other day, and I only got like one tomato off of those, and then. Like I said, it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah, I could understand that. What you might try is just letting the area go where you're planting them go fallow for a season or two, and see if that helps reduce the infestation.
What's the vector? Are you looking it up?
Well,
is it
I remember we were, Ken and I were talking about it. We were it's a leafhopper. So the leafhopper brings the virus. But it comes from, one of them is from beets. So if you have a lot of beets around, get it.
Huh. I've not seen that commonly.
I have not either.
I'm not saying that.
So we'll have to do a little research and see what we can find out and post maybe on our Facebook page.
Yeah. Vince, thank you very much for the call. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ.
I've kept lots of beets around my tomatoes and have never had an issue with it. Before jumping to curly top in Southern California, do we have much curly top in Southern California?
Not that I'm
aware. To my knowledge, no.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not something. It's not something that I've run across on a
commonly,
frequent basis.
Yes.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Have a great 4th of July, everybody. We will be back with another hour of Garden Talk next Saturday morning at 6:00.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.